My story begins with my grandfather being the first person in my life that I knew had a mental illness. I was very young, I would say kindergarten, when I realized that Grandpa was different, but I knew that I felt different.
You're listening to KSMU, and this is Making a Difference, the Springfield Greene County Health Department, with funding support from the Missouri Foundation for Health, is leading a major mental health needs assessment in partnership with Burrell Behavioral Health, Cox Health, Mercy Springfield, and Jordan Valley Community Health Center. The purpose is to analyze the current state of mental health services available, assess the needs of the community, and address the gap between the two. As part of this effort, a new series, Let's Talk About It, Navigating Through Life with a Mental Illness, is supported by the Community Foundation of the Ozarks Making a Difference series. On this edition of Making a Difference, we meet Stephanie Appleby, Director of Marketing and Development at NAMI of Southwest Missouri, the National Alliance on Mental Illness.
I'm here today because I want to break the stigma. I want to allow people to feel like they can talk about their mental illness diagnosis without shame. We need to treat mental illness just like we do physical issues, you know, cancer, diabetes, things like that. We need to normalize it so that people are comfortable. I mean, I think we still deal with a stigma that could be deadly if we don't talk about it.
Working for NAMI of Southwest Missouri at any time on any day of the week, Stephanie Appleby might be giving a TV or radio interview, speaking at a public forum, or visiting a homeless camp, giving counsel and comfort to its residents. But there was a time, a long period of time, when Stephanie Appleby's mind would not let her leave the confines of the home she shared with her husband and two children. Stephanie Appleby's mental illness is agoraphobia, and the first serious signs of it were the panic attacks.
And they started becoming more frequent, to where my whole world shrank. I started avoiding the places that I had the panic attacks at. I avoided things to the point where I became completely homebound and I did not leave my house at all.
Webster defines agoraphobia as fear of being helpless in a situation from which escape may be difficult or embarrassing. How serious is it? Very serious, as Stephanie Appleby can attribute. With few exceptions, including some, but not all, doctor's maternity visits made and the birth of her second child, Stephanie Appleby absolutely would not, could not, leave her home for 14 years.
Family begging me, you've got to leave, this is ridiculous, you need to get over this. And I can remember telling them, I can't get over this wall that's in my head that's telling me I'm going to die if I leave here. My husband would have conversations with me and say, let's just take a drive. And we would get into the car and start to back out into the driveway. And I would just shake and say, no, Shane, please, please, let's go back in. Let's go back in. And he'd pull the car back in the garage. I mean, that would be as far as I could get. I got to the point where I would only eat the same five things, because I thought if I have allergic reaction to something, I am going to have to leave the house. So I would have a turkey sandwich, sour cream and onion baked Lays, Swiss cake rolls, a Coke, and Fritos. I do not eat those things anymore at all. But in my mind, it was real. And I would make dinner for my family and my mouth would water because I would be so hungry and want to eat what they were having and so tired of having the same thing. And I can remember saying, this is so stupid. This is so dumb that I just can't live, you know.
There came a point in time when Stephanie Appleby confined herself to a bedroom despite pleas to come out from her husband and children. Then came another point in time.
I got into the bathtub with a knife and I cut my wrists. My husband came in the door as I was cutting my second wrist. He just knew something was wrong. Thankfully, I hadn't cut myself enough to require any care at the hospital. But at that point, I didn't care. I thought, if I'm leaving this house, it's going to be in a body bag. My husband climbed in the bathtub with me, put towels around my arms, and said, we're not doing this anymore. You are going to make a difference for people, and you are going to change the face of mental illness. and we're doing it together. I think it was in that moment that I found my purpose. I'm so sorry. Sorry. For a long time, I didn't have a purpose. I was just existing and surviving. So he gave me something to focus on, and I knew I could do this. I knew that I wanted to help other people just like me, because it wasn't fair that I had to live like this, and I didn't want anyone else to either. From that moment on, I ended up calling a physician friend of ours who had tried to get me to take medication for a long time. And I said, I think I'm ready to try the medicine. Again, I was doing therapy, medication, my faith. Those three things helped me. That's not for everybody, but that's what helped me.
And it wasn't long before Stephanie Appleby gained enough confidence for a family outing to Table Rock Lake.
My husband drove, and I sat in the back seat with my son, and my daughter sat in the front. And we made it halfway there, and I had to stop because I got a little anxious. And we were on the side of the road, and my daughter turned around and grabbed me by the chin, and she said, I am so proud of you. I made it. That whole weekend was the most amazing weekend. I will never forget it. We just stayed in a condo and played in the water, and I felt like I was in Paris. I started noticing I didn't have the what if thinking. What if I die? What if I go out there and a car hits me? I did not have any of that anymore. Eventually, I started exposing myself to things and places that I hadn't been for 14 years. So life became really great, and I decided this is my time to give back. This is a promise I made, and I'm gonna do it. So I called NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and I said, listen, I have agoraphobia. Do you guys have any support groups for that where, you know, over the phone? And the woman on the other line said, I'm not familiar with agoraphobia. So I knew right then and there that that was the place I needed to be.
Stephanie Appleby has a message to those who, like her, have suffered in silence because of mental illness. Number one, you're not alone. Number two, there's healing in helping others.
You're never alone, even though you feel like it. There's always going to be somebody out there who is maybe just like you or dealing with something just like you are. And you're needed. People need you. And I would encourage individuals to come out and talk about what they're dealing with, because you're not only helping yourself, but you're helping somebody else. God has given us all a purpose, every single one of us. And I would encourage people to find that. What excites you? What makes you feel like you want to make a difference? Find out what that is. And that's really the fuel that will keep you going. When you're doing what you love and what you believe in, what is right, it can change your whole life. It's changed mine.
Sharing her story today on navigating through life with a mental illness, Stephanie Appleby, Director of Marketing and Development for NAMI of Southwest Missouri, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. For information on the community-wide mental health needs assessment currently underway, Springfield Greene County Health Department at springfield.mogov/2853/health. Burl Behavior Health at burlcenter.com, and the Community Foundation of the Ozarks at cfozarks.org. For Let's Talk About It and KSMU's ongoing series, Making a Difference, I'm Mike Smith.